It feels like Hanukkah was only a few weeks ago, and already Passover is upon us. At least that's what I thought when I read an article about someone ritualistically marking a doorframe. I assumed the story was about some type of Passover reenactment. A rabbi or a minister was showing what the slaves would have done to ward off the angel of death. And then I realized, that can't be right. It's only January. Passover, no matter how early it is never this early. So I investigated a little further, and what I learned was that these folks, two ministers and a member of the United States House of Congress, were not engaged in some Passover reenactment. No, these two ministers and one elected official consecrated with oil and prayer the door that Barack Obama would walk through on his way to the inaugural platform. Given the tremendous concerns about security, one must wonder how two ministers were able to enter the Capitol with a liquid, given that liquids aren't allowed on planes, and anoint the door so close to the inaugural platform just days before the ceremony itself. It has been suggested that the congressman aided them in this endeavor. Interestingly, this is the same congressman who said of Obama that he may establish a Gestapo-like security force to impose a Marxist dictatorship. Beyond the notion of separation of church and state, or the thought that these two ministers and one congressman represent a far-right religious perspective on what our nation should be, I won't allow this type of showmanship, which I'm sure is an attempt to raise their own profile among their prospective donor base, to diminish the historical significance of the inauguration of our nation's 44th president, our nation's first African-American president. Watching the pre-inaugural concert on Sunday, staged at the Lincoln Memorial, even through the TV, one can sense the energy and the excitement. Seeing the throngs of people standing around the reflecting pool, it was clear that our nation was standing on the edge of an extraordinary moment, transformative, historic. The weight of this moment amplified through the lens of Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy and the day we set aside as a nation to remember him and his dream. And while it took a long time to get here, and there has been much heartache and pain, even violence and death, our nation is poised to enter a new chapter in its history. And we arrived at this moment through the will of our people, the peaceful transference of power as determined by the electorate. As Barack Obama places his hand on the Lincoln Bible, history will be folding back upon itself. Lincoln, who saved our nation, freed the slaves, created the possibility that one day, a man who at another time could have been enslaved would now lead our nation during what has become one of the most challenging and difficult periods of our nation's history. Faced with two wars, an economy in tatters, rising unemployment, conflicts around the world, an energy crisis, our nation turned to Barack Obama to inspire, to lead. While the prejudices that have existed in our nation won't be forgotten or forgiven on the day Obama is sworn in, we do learn that change is possible, that our past doesn't have to be our future, that we can move beyond the problems of yesterday to create a better tomorrow. In the recently published letters to his daughters, Obama wrote, "America is great, not because it is perfect, but because it can always be made better. Our nation, having known slavery and segregation, now knows its first black president. Our nation is getting better." I'm Robert Barr, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Adam. Thanks for listening.